welcome back to this week's episode of Geek Whisperers. I'm Amy Lewis.
And I'm John Mark Troyer.
And I'm Matt Brender.
And we are back with a very special guest talking about our absolute favorite thing, community programs and influence marketing. So first I'm going to let our guest introduce himself. Mark, if you want to take it away.
Yeah, my name is Mark Fidon. I'm the Chief Community Evangelist for SAP and Mentor Herder. And one thing that I would like to throw back to you, I mean, you are the Geek Whisperers. For someone who doesn't know you yet, what have you whispered before? One, two, three highlights maybe for people that are new to this.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good question. We can't seem to stop whispering. Mark?
Yeah, we tend to whisper quite out loud. I mean, one of my favorite things is how you measure community in a way that really adds value to a business slash justifies the kind of the more warm, fuzzy feelings that we get out of what we do here.
Okay. I don't know. I was thinking of it directly in relation to the Horse Whisperer book or movie or whatever it was, in that there's this whole marketing department and they are trying to tame these geeks. And they really don't, I don't want to say they don't know what they're doing, but they really don't speak the language of horses. And so we come over and whisper in their ears and then we all get along nicely.
I see.
And I think that, yeah, my interest is somewhere in the I've become org chart girl, which is hilarious if you know me, because it's I do like information architecture. So I suppose it's that part of my brain that kicks in. I like to think about where we all sit and how we accomplish that whispering in a way that corporate America can identify and appreciate, and also what makes people tick. I really like the individual part of what we do here as influence marketers. So how about you?
Background to me, I am alive with SAP over 20 years. I started out in Germany doing implementations for SAP, and so I'm really excited about the time where now SAP is redoing their financials with the new technology, which is our in-memory database HANA. And so stuff from 20 years back, come back, interesting time. And over the time, I did all kinds. So I did implementation consulting, I did product management, product marketing. And then I was one of a handful of people that started 10 years ago the SAP Developer Network, now SAP Community Network. And from the beginning, I thought about and was motivated by what makes community tick, because the big question for me was, how can I bring out the passion in the community? And on the side, I also am super interested in a positive future, so boldly creating a future that works for all, and that I do with Future Salon.
Quick question there. So that sounds amazing and a great thought process. Did you hit any challenges? Was this, because this is pretty out of the box thinking when you were thinking it?
Of course, there were tons of challenges, like this blog post critical of ABAP technology, whatever it was back then.
Of course, yeah. Whatever product that was most important.
And they come to me and say, wait a sec, this is SAP property, more or less. Take it down. We pay for this. And that is a constant thing to educate people of, hey, no, it's not ours. We are providing the environment, but we will kill it if we take it down, if we are heavy-handed. No, you post a comment, you engage. I mean, at the total beginning, nobody cared, nobody was interested because we were so small and we were begging people, knocking on doors in Waldorf development to get them to post onto that community. And the really interesting thing was then the only thing happening at the total beginning was community contribution on the blogs and that dialogue that was happening on the blogs. And only over time then people came around from within SAP, oh wow, this is an opportunity. And then over time, social media and more and more. So now fully established.
I was curious, Mark, at what point in your career as a technologist and community builder did you realize that you were in fact a marketer the whole time in disguise? Hiding behind the scenes, preying on innocent technologists in the SAP community.
Matt, don't call our guests dirty names.
It was really one of the proud badges that we had at the beginning. We had only one marketing guy, and that was me at the beginning. And I still think we are the bleeding edge, cutting edge of the new marketing and not necessarily marketing. I still totally see myself as someone who is creating the opportunity for real engagement with our students, our customers, partners, and so on. Is that marketing? If that is the new marketing, yes, absolutely. I'm a marketeer.
Well done, sir. Yeah, you took a badge of shame and turned it into one of honor, which is is something I quite honestly personally struggle with. That I get a little nervous when people categorize what I do in social and community building as marketing. But yeah, you're right to say that it is where the power, it is where the momentum is, and maybe it'd be worthwhile to adopt that shameful name.
Well, I get a little nervous when people take what I do in marketing and call it social. So it's a podcast for another day.
One thing that I thought when I sat down, Mark and I actually had a really nice conversation the other day out of the blue. He's actually my next door neighbor, office-wise.
Oh, wow.
And one thing I found really fascinating, Mark, was the way that the mentors have always been associated with events and kind of grew up out of your technical events, because it was flip-flop for VMware. For VMware, we started completely online, and it wasn't until a few years later that all of a sudden we all met up at VMworld, and I found a thread actually the other day, you know, where people, they were sharing pictures and they had met for the first time the other day, and it was amazing. And now, of course, VMworld is completely transformed. It's like a homecoming every year. People who are not on social don't realize, you know, what good friends we really are, the people in the community and the VExperts. So maybe could you talk a little bit about how, you know, you got started with the mentors in events and how the offline, the real space, the meet space activity is just as important as the online?
To create real deep relations, you need to have this face-to-face meeting once a year at least. And what we had very successful already was a technical educational conference. Mm-hmm. Thousands of people come together. But they were really super focused on these sessions. They had hands-on sessions, super popular, 2 hours, 4 hours, and they had lectures. But if you didn't like any of them, so you go into a lecture and realize, that's not me, you walked out of it and then, like a zombie, walked the empty halls because there was nothing. And when we opened up the SAP Developer Network, then we said, hey, at this event, we have a clubhouse. And we're going to have the best coffee there. We have then real cappuccinos and da, da, da. That's the center point. This is where people hang out, where they geek out, where they do stuff. And then we created in every corner of that clubhouse a little theater space, which then the top community folks, we more or less at an unconference style, again, something that was totally new back then, we said, hey, here is an opportunity, just put up the session and then people come, and if it's only a handful, but it's really engaging, and this is from community to the other. So every mentor gets his own shirt and can select his own number and gets his Twitter handle on the back or whatever else he or she wants to have. And every year we have a different, slightly different design, but along the lines of SAP branding, so it is. It started out more blue, and now branding is more black and SAP gold or whatever you want to call it. And what that does is it is creating a real tribe. And I think that that is also super, super important. And I remember the first time I did that, we used vintage rugby shirts and embroidered then the SAP Mentors logo on there, and everybody could choose his number and all that. And once that was finished, so one of these shirts was then five times as much as the speaker shirts. Everybody was scared.
Love it.
Five times as much. And I had a tough time to get that through controlling and the people. And I'm like, this is really important. And it turned out to be super, super important because what is happening, so at an event, no matter where you are, where you go, you can look through the room, even if there are 500 people, you see, oh, there's a mentor. Then realizing also this old knowledge of one really engaged community member is pulling nine engaged community members and pulling another 90 lurkers. Well, it makes a ton of sense then to focus on this one super engaged person.
And that's gotta be tripping Matt's metrics trigger.
Well, yes.
So what? Well, Matt, I'll let you jump in, but I'm curious how, what kind of tracking, what kind of tools you use to help kind of keep an eye on who's doing what and what the connections are.
That is an interesting item because I think it's the deep engagement, the passionate engagement is super fleeting, aka if you put KPIs around it, if you measure, you have to do five blocks every year, da da da. What they do is five blocks every year and no spirit, no magic. You kill the magic by having KPIs, in my opinion.
Oh yeah. I love the fact that you say that. I also, putting a executive hat on or trying to sell it up the flagpole or whatever the phrase is, I can also imagine that they can just be like, that doesn't look like it's worth that much money to send all these people places.
Right.
So how do you maintain that executive positivity? How do you build this momentum so that the program is seen in the light that it should be, as you see it and as those participating see it?
Yes, tell us how to sell this up the chain, because believe you.
Without KPIs. Without KPIs.
We're gonna take
because
notes.
Otherwise, I'm going to keep counting the impressions we can reach through social.
So what you do there is by selecting the top community influencers, and for the mentors, the three criteria we have is you have to be an expert, deep expert in an area of SAP, and we not care too much what it is, first round. Number two, you have to have proven community spirit, aka you have not only wrote blogs to bring yourself out, but what developed out of the SAP mentors is they create local SAP insight tracks. So you give them €500 and they create a whole day of unconference style, find a place. Often it is an SAP place, but often it's not. And create a local event. And if that is that person that is able to gather between 20 and 120 people locally, you know that that is a mentor or that is someone that has some say in the community, more or less.
So that leads me to a question. I realize I might not have a good enough understanding, and I don't know if our listeners do. Can you sort of walk us through some of the, you know, block and tackle stuff, some of the basics of what the, how you become a mentor, you know, how many you'd like to have at any one time, sort of some of the strategic, right, but, you know, real tactical bits as well.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you become a mentor? You get nominated by the community and you do that twice a year always. And they are community, nominated, and then there's an internal process also to figure out to get a good mixture of locality, aka region, different offerings, more or less, or product solutions and so on. So how that fits in, and then also we try to have a balance of customers, partners, independent consultants, SAP folks, and gender and age and all that is a stew. We are at the moment 140. We add about between 10 and 20 every run, and we also have mentor alumni. So the elders, the ones that did a couple of years of SAP mentorship, and then they become statesmen, elders, or we call them mentor alumni. And the greatest thing that one of them told me, yes, he goes, alumni, because hey, then also my pressure is off that I need to be engaged, and then it's actually nicer again.
I love the fluidity of your environment. I think that's something that all of us have thought about and tried to build into our independent programs one way or the other. And setting that up as the culture and the expectation is just a really great way to do it.
And I must admit that I'm not the greatest in pinging people and saying, should you go alumni? What's happening? Because it's just, there's only 24 hours in the day, and that's just something that,
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I love the alumni idea. You do always have to have a way for people to retire somehow. Otherwise, you end up with a permanent board. That's happened on some of our advisory councils and things like that that didn't have an expiration date. You end up with the same people for 10 years.
And an elegant way to do it, too, and an honored way to do it.
Exactly.
Instead of a kick out the door.
Yep. And I'm starting to
see... Graceful exit is super important.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. And I think actually the more we speak to fellow friends who have designed programs like this, I think we're getting to like a simple state machine where there are a certain number of knobs you twist at the beginning, however many people you want to get involved. But having that like active participation and then an alumni association in the long run and having it yearly based, I think we really do have a decent template for how to do these things. That said, Mark, I think you do, from what I've heard, you do the SAP mentors quite differently in the way it relates to it. I mean, are there any marketing facets to what you do with the SAP mentors?
You're still trying to get him to admit to it, aren't you, Matt?
You're blowing my cover before you realized it.
This is good cop, bad cop.
Do you have any campaigns connected to this? Do you have a paywall? No.
Well, I think Mark does do briefings. I think different briefings, people do, okay. Right?
Exactly. So let's continue. You were wondering, and that is actually an excellent thing. So briefings, absolutely, and the mentors are super interested in getting early access to new software, new data, and want to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so we do 2 to 3 webinars every week where there is updates, there is, this is not working, therefore let's have a talk about it, what we can do to improve. And also one of the, we try to have these mentor Mondays every week, not happening all the time, but today was an amazing webinar where we do a public one where the whole world can view, and it's recorded so they can go back and watch it. And you were asking about executive engagement. So if you select knowledgeable people that have deep knowledge in the different areas, and are the third element of a mentor is good communication skills. So he or she is able to bring across what's happening in the market. So are the community spokesperson and can engage on a high level with the executives. Then what we do is that we bring them together with the executives, and for them to get that unvarnished feedback from the community, because they are living so much in the bubble that everybody who is reporting to them is giving them sunshine.
Okay, this is the best idea I have heard this month. What a great way to prevent. I read a business book once that called it executive inoculation. And what a great term, right? Oh, wow. Where you get inoculated against the truth sometimes, unfortunately, because we like to talk about here resume generating events, you know? So you don't want to have those. So you just say, yes, 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 everything's great. Here's the spin. You know, again, maybe the dark side of marketing, but you're talking about an unvarnished, articulate, intelligent group representing a community coming in. How are the executives lining up to for these meetings, or was that a hard sell to get the executives to agree to these kinds of meetings at first? How did that go as you got this started?
So it went gradually, but the experience was really powerful that the executives that experience these sessions and they are unscripted. They are I put a place up where the mentors can post questions that they want to have asked to the executive. So for me, that's a way to ease the executives in. So because they're used to analysts and press where they have to be up their guard in regards to not say things because the press wants to have a story, and if they can, they may bring it out. Versus the mentors always tell me at the end what we want is for SAP to succeed, because then we succeed too. But this is why we are the harshest critics behind closed doors, because we see where SAP needs to improve, aka, hey, if you want to really reach out to developers beyond SAP circles, you need to have something for them, aka the UI, open source that great UI technology, and this is what we are doing now. So, and the executives that have experienced that and this high signal conversation. So we go in with 2-3 questions, but then boom, 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 boom. They really love that, and they say, we have to do that more often. Let's do that every month. And I'm like, oh, we have so many. Yes. And so my schedule now at events, coming back to your question, Sean, what do we do at events? At events, we would love to clone the mentors because we have a thick schedule of meeting with executives, and that goes up to the highest levels. I don't only want to meet with the highest executives. You want to meet with the product folks to make sure that they understand. And the big, big goal for me is to have the mentors engage throughout the whole product lifecycle. So the earlier you engage with them, the more they it can just can be adjusted, and the more then over the time, and then once you come out with your product and have engaged with the mentor from the beginning, they are happy to lead the parade and be with you on stage and say, yeah, here, blah, 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 this is why, and bring it out with you. So that, and then we have all this from that original clubhouse and these corner theaters. Now we have, I think last year it was like 8 networking lounges.
I do want to jump in. It sounds like you have a really phenomenal situation where you've inspired your dedicated technologists to be part of the process. You've gotten the right amount of buy-in throughout the whole development cycle, quite frankly, from the sounds of it, so that you can lead people from the inception of an idea to the production of it and to the reality of it, so that they help with the actual launch. I'm actually curious, John, you've been quieter than normal.
Unusual.
Yeah,
heard it before.
So I'm curious, you've had longer to think about Mark's design and what he's been doing with the mentors. What is that feeling? What do you feel about this in response to your knowledge of this sphere?
Sure. What I really love what Mark and SAP have done is the community feeling that they've kept, right? This is a real community. This is real grassroots. in some ways, it feels like something that we had done years ago, but perhaps times have changed a little bit. I don't know how much of that has been. I don't know how much of that is Mark keeping outside influences away from the community and not turning it into a marketing vehicle. How much of that is the difference between developers and IT people? Because developers have a different relationship with vendors than maybe IT operations people do. Although SAP developers are fairly close to their vendor, SAP, much like our IT folks are close to us. They like certifications. They go to our conferences. So I don't know if it's a dev versus IT thing, but I do just love how Mark has and the mentors. They do feel like a real community. Now, I'm not saying that the vExperts don't feel like a real community. My God, it's been my most rewarding professional engagement. But, we do talk about marketing here, and we open the kimono. And, Mark, the funny thing is we kind of made the podcast, and we thought we'd be listened to by a lot of marketing professionals. But it's actually technologists that listen to it. And we kind of, in some sense, we kind of demystify what goes on inside these giant corporations for them. Right. And how the marketing, omelet gets made. So I don't know. I just think what Mark has done is really special. I'm wondering, I believe this is really valuable in driving business. And I do not think that, VMware or Cisco or anybody has screwed it up in terms of poisoning the well, in terms of making it too marketing-y. I think that danger is there. But the other thing I just find fascinating is how all these programs are very similar. Like you said, they have very similar templates, but yet they've grown up inside different cultures. So the flowers, look very different when they bloom. There's not much for anybody else to go on there. That's just kind of
No, I wanted a John Troyer knowledge drop. So jump in.
Yeah, and I've got a question led from that, because we do end up with so many technologists. Like I said, I think the executives are still running a little scared. We need to have the we keep coming up with various subtitles for the podcast, like the podcast that lets you stick it in the eye of the executives, or now we can have "We're Not Marketing, We Swear." But what would you say to a technologist who's aspiring? Again, because you've created such a great and warming culture, when you think about your perfect mentor and somebody is on their professional path, what would you say to them? Not that being a mentor, in some ways, I think you have to want to be an organized professional, not necessarily just seek membership in one of these communities. But what would you say are some of the things on the road to professional development that make you a well-rounded technologist that would permit entry into this kind of world?
I think it's a certain kind of person. The person is someone who intrinsically wants to help and share. So it's motivated by sharing and not by the next step on the ladder. But what I say is that great fulfillment comes from focusing on learning, sharing, and seeing others succeed with the things that you have shared. And what I always say to the aspiring mentors is, we have a culture of inclusion. So even if you're not an SAP mentor, you are totally welcome to join us at the Jam Band or whatever we do. Create your own inside track, your local inside track. And so you can run with the mentors and be part of that and enjoy the outcomes and all the things.
Well, and one thing I really want to call out from what you just said that I think is so important is the idea that a lot of these programs, one of the things that ties it together is that people, it's got to be about people wanting to share. And I think sometimes people get dinged. We've certainly heard about it. We've made jokes about these technologists are a bit of unicorns. They are the rare technologist that is also articulate and super engaged. And often don't feel like they don't fit in exactly in any one organization or department. But I love what you're saying. One of the challenges they get is this is for personal gain, or they want to stand out above the herd, if you will. But I really do think at the core is that they want to share. And that's just a great point I wanted to highlight.
Now, having talked about sharing, Mark, one of the gratifying things I've seen of people in our community is their careers blossom over time. You know, you have a blogger who starts off doing some blogging, and before long they're involved in some sort of community project, or they suddenly get, you know, they start going to events, or maybe, you know, one of the vendors will invite them with a free pass, and then they're working on a book, and all of a sudden they have a new job, and it's been really fun to watch people's careers grow over the past 8 or 9 years I've been at VMware. Do you see the same sort of things happen?
Yes, absolutely. And also getting hired by SAP or then going somewhere else and being that successful. That happens too. And then also the executives that supported mentors get further up in the ranks and continue to support the cause because they see the big advantage. So yeah, that's happening, and absolutely, I love that when I see because of that prominence there's movement and positive things come out. And
Mark, do mentors ever feel co-opted by SAP, or is there ever external criticism of, oh, you can't listen to so-and-so, they're a mentor, SAP bought them with that shirt?
That is something that we are keenly aware, and we work hard on making sure that this is not the case. The mentors are not the extended arm of marketing.
Right.
So, fellow whisperers, John, Matt, do you have any more questions for Mark?
Where do you see the future of this going? Where is community marketing going, if we can call it that?
At least from my perspective, there's enormous potential in that model, and I think. What I always say, it's the fulfillment of Enterprise 2.0, of a real engagement with our constituents, and for the win of everybody. And the more people understand that model and are getting more comfortable with the engagement with mentors and with these community leaders, then I think more and more companies and the big growth will happen, and social media is then just one of the elements, like email. I hope that the more companies will wake up soon and make that this positive sum and win for everybody around.
I love your points in that it's not about the platforms. Those always change. It is about the people. And that this isn't a transactional investment. This is not overnight marketing. Right. It is a long-term and organically grown adventure.
Yeah. And Mark, I guess I don't have a final question so much as a comment/challenge to you that I think somewhere hidden under the surface of what all four of us have accomplished, and certainly what you've done an exceptional job at, are meaningful KPIs that could translate up the business stack in a way that doesn't degrade the quality of the experience of the individuals. And I challenge you to keep an eye out for them and come and because I know there's something worth measuring here.
For me, the KPIs are success stories.
Yes.
Tell the stories of success, to tell where the mentors made a difference within SAP, within the community, within events.
I like it. There we go. I feel better.
The mic has been dropped. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for taking the time to talk to us today, to come whisper our way. It was a lot of fun to meet you and to learn some more about the SAP Mentor Program. Where can people find you online in that social realm, if they're looking to connect with you and ask more questions?
I'm Finon at Twitter, so /Finon, F-I-N-N-E-R-N. And the SAP Mentors.sap.com, there's where it's all happening. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you have listened to another episode of Geek Whispers, and this is the part of the show where we unabashedly ask for your feedback, slash beg for your thumbs ups, stars, comments, etc. So if you've enjoyed what you've heard, then please leave us a comment, a review, etc. on your listening platform of choice, be it iTunes, Stitcher, you know, a friendly neighborhood blog, etc. And we'll see you next time on Geek Whispers.
You've been listening to the Geek Whispers podcast, where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT. You can listen to all the episodes at our website, geek-whispers.com, or check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. Your hosts were John Mark Troyer, Amy Lewis, and Matthew Brender, better known on Twitter as J. Troyer, Comms Ninja, and MJ Brender. See you next week.
So, fellow Whisperers, John, Matt, do you have any more questions for Mark?
You should have asked us first.
Hold on.
They're whispering their answers.